Well, good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to the Feast of Trumpets 2016. The Feast of Trumpets is one of God's annual feast days. It is the fourth of the seven annual holy days and the first of the fall holy days. For those of you who still use a paper calendar, you will notice that most of them point out that this day is still observed by the Jews. They call it Rosh Hashanah. It is also known by the Jews as Yom Teruah, or the Feast of Trumpets, which is the name we as God's church most commonly use in reference to this day. So why are we gathered here to celebrate on this day? If you would please, let's turn in our Bibles to Leviticus 23, scripture that I'm sure we've all turned to many times over the years. That's Leviticus 23. And we'll read verses 1 and 2. That's where we'll begin. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts." I think it's important to note here that God makes it clear that these are His feasts. They are not the Jewish feasts, as we often hear from critics. They are God's feasts. Now let's skip on down to verses 23 through 25, which refer to this specific day. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." So we learn several things from these verses. One, today is a Sabbath rest. Two, we're commanded to have a holy convocation. Three, we are to bring an offering. Four, we are to do no customary work. And five, the reason for our gathering, we are to have a memorial or remembrance of the blowing of trumpets. So to brethren today, I'd like to call to your remembrance the reason trumpets were blown in ancient biblical times. In addition, I'd like to compare and contrast some interesting parallels between trumpets blown in the past to trumpets that will be blown in our prophetic future. So brethren, the title for my sermonette today is The Sound of Trumpets. Brethren, it's clear from Scripture that in ancient biblical times, trumpets were used often by the nation of Israel. Some of these uses included the call of an assembly of the congregation, to give direction of the movement of the camps, to proclaim the beginning of months or appointed feasts, and to mobilize the army. Silver trumpets were generally used for these reasons, producing unique notes identifying the actions to be taken. Brethren, let's take a look at that. If you would please, let's turn to Numbers 10. That's Numbers 10. And let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 10. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movements of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. And they shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, You shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So we see here, there were many reasons that trumpets were blown in ancient Israel. Interestingly, it is noted in the Jewish Talmud, under the article Rosh Hashanah, that a ram's horn, or shofar, was used on this particular feast day. The shofar, in contrast to the musical sound of the silver trumpets, produces a shrill, piercing blast that symbolized an alarm of impending attack or war. Now, fortunate for everyone today, I've actually brought a shofar in, courtesy of Mr. Doc White. And I'm going to attempt to sound the shofar. Now, sometimes this works and sometimes it doesn't. This thing's a little more difficult to blow than you might think, but I'm going to try. Yeah, so that's my special music for today. And believe me, I'm sure that Lynn will be glad that this is the last day I'll be practicing.
That needs to go back.
We also find support for the use of the shofar as an admonition of war in the story of the fall of Jericho. More than any other reason, it is this warning of impending war, pictured by the memorial of blowing trumpets, that separates this feast day from God's other holy days. With this thought in mind, I'd like to bring to your attention some interesting parallels between events at the fall of Jericho and prophesied events that will happen at the return of Jesus Christ when he brings about the fall of Babylon and Satan's evil rule. If you recall, the story of Jericho takes place as the Israelites are beginning to take over the Promised Land. This seemingly unconquerable city, with its imposing walls, stood as a shining symbol of the power and might of the inhabitants of this land. So let's take a look at this story, and let's begin in Joshua 5. That's Joshua 5. And we're going to start in verses, or we're going to read verses 13 through 15. Joshua 5, 13 through 15. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So who was this man, capital M, that Joshua fell on his face to worship? It's interesting to note that in verse 15, this commander of the army of the Lord uses the exact same words to Moses at the burning bush. Obviously, this figure described in these passages can be none other than the one called Yahweh, Lord, the Eternal, the one who became Jesus Christ. Moses was given his job to do when he had his meeting on the mountain with the Lord, and now Joshua is literally being given his marching orders by the commander of the Lord's army. So let's continue the story in Joshua 6. here we'll start in verses 2 through 5. It says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before you.'" Notice it was a ram's horn, or shofar, used in the scriptures as a warning of attack. Now skipping on down to verses 13 through 16, it says, "Then the priest bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord with the priests, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days." So picture this in your mind. Every day for 6 days, the priests of the Lord marched around the city once while blowing the shofar. Let's continue in verse 15. "But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day, only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" Now skipping down to verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." So you see, brethren, the ancient Israelites conquered Jericho and inherited the promised land with the blowing of trumpets, led by the one who later became Jesus Christ. Brethren, just as the physical nation of Israel inherited the promised land with blasts from the trumpets, we as God's church will inherit the kingdom of God with a blast from the trumpet. This day, the Feast of Trumpets, pictures this event. And amazingly, there are many parallels to the story of Jericho. Too many, in fact, to cover them all, but I'd like to cover a few of them today. So let's begin in Revelation 8, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. It's Revelation 8, verses 1 and 2. Now this speaks of the time just prior to Christ's return. It says, "When he opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. And I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. Prior to this point, there had been 6 previous seals. If you recall, at Jericho, the priests marched around the city for 6 days, blowing the shofar. Now here in Revelation, we've come to the 7th seal, and there are 7 angels with 7 trumpets to announce 7 trumpet plagues. Remember, at Jericho, the priests marched around the city 7 times on the 7th day and sounded the trumpets 7 times, with the walls falling down at the 7th trump. Now here again in Revelation, at the 7th seal, we find there are 7 instances of trumpets sounding, with Christ returning to conquer the nations at the 7th sounding of the trump. Do you see the similarity? But there is more. At Jericho, the people were instructed to shout at the sounding of the last trumpet on the 7th day. Interestingly, we find similar reference to a shout at the 7th or last trump when Christ returns. Let's look at that in 1 Thessalonians 4, That's 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with what? With a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Here's another similarity. At Jericho, we saw the commander of the armies of the Lord appear with a sword to lead the Israelites in the destruction of Jericho. Here at the end time, we find the fall of Satan's evil reign over the nations will come about in similar fashion. Let's look at that. In Revelation 19, that's Revelation 19, we'll read verses 11 through 16. Says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns on his head, and he had a name written that no one except himself, that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And notice, "And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes what? A sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So who are these armies clothed in white linen? You don't have to turn there, but we find the answer in Jude 1, 14 through 15. And I believe Mr. Earls referred to this scripture in his sermon last Sabbath. It says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who were ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So it is the resurrected saints who will be with Jesus Christ at this time, ushering in the kingdom of God to this earth. Brethren, this is what this day pictures, and this is the reason we are assembled here today for the Feast of Trumpets 2016. So today, brethren, in keeping with God's instruction, we have called to remembrance the many reasons for the blowing of trumpets in Scripture. We have reviewed trumpets that have sounded in the past, as well as trumpets that will sound in the not-so-distant future. However, there is one final use of trumpets mentioned in the Bible that we have not covered. We find reference to this in my final scripture today. If you would please turn to Isaiah 58. It's Isaiah 58. And we'll read verse 1. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." Here we find the trumpet is used as a simile for our collective voices. Brethren, God has commissioned his church to sound a thunderous warning to the world. As we preach the good news of the coming kingdom of God, we must also proclaim the terrible things that are prophesied to happen just prior to Christ's return. Ours is a sobering work that requires us to speak with a trumpeting voice of clarity, a voice that fearlessly declares events that will happen, and most importantly, why they will happen. Brethren, this is the work that you and I have been called out of this world to perform. And with God's help, we will continue in this work until that fateful day when we actually hear the sound of trumpets.